Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing in the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that will determine what the future will bring. I need to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of this station. They're my views, the views of our guests, the views of our callers. If you're out there across America, you want to talk to us, our number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Or here in the Central Coast of California, 464-8295. But please hold your calls for the time being. We have with us on the line from Canada, Will Thomas. Hi, Will. How you doing?
Very good, Dr. Stan. How are you?
I'm doing just great. Well, why don't you tell us, now, one of the things you have, I understand, is you've got an article was that the Canadian paper, or where was that, where the Pentagon admitted that on the morning of 9/11, they gave orders that the fighter planes were to stand down. What's the background on that?
Okay, yes, this comes from an audio book, a 2-CD set that I've just released, and that is based on a news release released by the Pentagon September 18th, 2001, 1 week after the tragic events of 9/11. And I got this, Stan, about, 2.5 months ago now, about 3 a.m, going, you know the scenario, hundreds of news reports on the Internet, and this thing pops up on my screen, and it says, Pentagon news release, all of our fighters launched on September 11th flew at 500 miles per hour. And I sat up quite straight, having been a pilot, having been in the military, and I said, wait a minute, those planes were capable of 1,500 to 1,875 miles an hour. So the burning question, and a question the 9/11 Commission and the American media have yet to ask, why were those airplanes flying at a fraction of their top speeds with their country under attack?
Well, I think that's a very legitimate question, and I know that actually that was at least partially brought out in the hearings that what I'm reading now, that the day that May 23rd, when they interviewed the Secretary of Transportation Norman Mineta, and he told about how they monitored the plane coming into the Pentagon and didn't try to stop it, and then later in the day they did testify, the military men testified, that the planes that were launched from Langley, Virginia, which is only 105 miles away, were not allowed to fly at full speed. And you have to ask yourself, when America's under attack, why would that be? And the excuse, well, we were looking outwards. We were expecting an attack to come from overseas. It's so ridiculous. And yet, of course, they've given that excuse over and over again with a straight face, knowing full well that they were expecting an attack on the United States. So they're looking overseas to see if anything's coming in from Russia? Come on now.
But actually, Dr. Stan, they were. As a matter of fact, on September 11th, and I hope the interference is on my end on this phone call.
I think it is.
Okay, good. On September 11th, they were, that is to say, NORAD, the air defense people of the United States, were 3 days into a nationwide air defense drill aimed at, you know, putting all these fighters and radars together for the threat of, listen to this, Russian bombers and missiles coming over the North Pole. Now, as far as I know, they're not our enemies. And the question is, who gave the orders for much of the U.S. military command to be looking over the North Pole? They might have been looking for Santa Claus, but they were told to look the other way. Now, that doesn't extend to the NEAD people on the northeastern seaboard, the local commanders, if you like, who were looking at, as one radar operator told me, who used to work for them, he said, we look at everything that flies.
Hold that thought just a moment. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty. Our guest this afternoon is Will Thomas, and Will has written some fascinating books in the past, but he's put out a new audio tape set going into the background of what happened on September 11th. The various transcripts and actually conversations that were held by the flight controllers. In fact, recently we've just learned that on the very day of the 9/11 attack, all of the flight controllers were briefed, and they all sat down, and they gave their impression of exactly what had happened, and a federal man came in and destroyed the tape because he said, oh, they were so distressed, they probably weren't thinking clearly, and he destroyed the tape. Well, now, of course, he's been reprimanded, probably given a slap on the wrist and promoted to a high position for destroying the evidence. Why would you destroy the evidence? If there's nothing to hide, why is the administration so intent upon hiding it? Why does the president refuse to testify in public? In fact, insists he has somebody there, like Dick Cheney, to answer the questions for him. Why, you know, and they've had the testimony of Norman Mineta, who talked about the incoming plane, and Dick Cheney was asked if the orders still stand, and Cheney said, of course the orders still stand. Have you heard anything to the contrary? And then nobody tried to find out what the orders were that were to allow that plane not to be interfered with. They just dropped that like a hot potato. It's fascinating to read the transcripts and see how they consistently avoid asking the proper questions. I mean, an idiot could read those and say, the questionnaires are not trying to get the answers. They're trying to prevent the answers from coming out. And if there's nothing to conceal, why are they so intent upon concealing the truth about what really happened on September 11th from the American people? Go ahead, Will.
I couldn't agree more with you. And why has it taken 3 years and a lot of pressure to even get this commission underway? The whole thing smelled. And the jets you mentioned out of Langley, that's accurate. They had some 45 minutes to deploy. They flew, and I'm quoting from that same news release now, gave the flight distances and flight times for all of the intercepts. And the Langley jets, I did the math, it's quite simple, 460 miles per hour, about the speed of a World War II propeller-driven fighter. And, of course, we have Andrews Air Force Base with two armed and fueled ready alert jets, 24-hour standby, being launched at that time about once a week or more often on routine intercepts for wayward airliners and aircraft. They were held on the ground all day long, and their mission statement...
Hold that thought there, for just a moment. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here. Our guest this afternoon is Will Thomas, and he was talking about what happened on the morning of September 11th. And, of course, there were planes fully equipped, fully manned, just a minute away from Washington, D.C. They were at Andrews Air Force Base just across the river there. And what were you saying about that? Why weren't those planes launched? Why did they bring them in from Langley at subspotic speeds? In fact, the truth of the matter is they didn't bring them in from Langley. They sent them out over at the Atlantic, and then they brought them back in from out across the Atlantic. Why would you do that if you were trying to protect the Pentagon? Or maybe that wasn't the goal. Anyway, what was this about the planes there at Andrews Air Force Base?
Well, we had a U.S. Marine and U.S. Air Force detachment there, two squadrons. Their mission statement was to protect the United States from airborne terrorists. And that was on their website on the morning of September 11th, and it was not on their website on the morning of September 12th. In fact, that website had been scrubbed, sanitized, if you will, and all mention of those interceptor squadrons removed, but too late, of course, because other people had seen it and reposted it on the Internet. But the Andrews question, I haven't heard that asked, why those alert jets weren't flown. And you noted the Langley. The first interceptors officially launched were out of Otis Air Force Base, way up in Cape Cod, about 179 miles from the Twin Towers. We have interviews with the two pilots, nicknamed Nasty and Duff, and they said to the press, for the record, we flew flat out the whole way, and we just couldn't get there in time. It's so tragic. And I'm saying, if you flew flat out at Mach 2.2, or some 1,875 miles per hour, One, you would have broken every window on the eastern seaboard, so we certainly would have known you were moving quickly. And two, you would have intercepted the second airliner before it hit the World Trade Center. So they did not fly at top speed, as they stated, and as other generals stated. They flew, as the Pentagon officially noted a week later, at about 510 miles per hour. And meanwhile, Dr. Stan, we have over Atlantic City, New Jersey, 3 minutes from the World Trade Center at full speed, two F-16s who could have intercepted both airliners before they reached Manhattan. Those pilots were not told, those military pilots were not informed that their country was under attack for more than an hour until the attacks, in fact, were over.
Well, I guess it's just no communication. These people are just bumbling idiots. Or, well, the only other explanation would be that they wanted the attack to occur. But, you know, if you study this, you see the hands of the CIA all over it. I mean, how could anybody really expect the American people to believe that two of the hijackers' passports survived the blazing inferno, one in New York City, one in Pennsylvania? And as I always say, you know, they must have rolled down the windows and thrown them out just before the planes became flaming masses, because both of those passports survived. No other body else's passport survived, just those two passports. In fact, even the human beings didn't survive. In some instances, the black boxes didn't survive, but the passports that pointed to the Islamic terror survived. You find the hands of the CIA all over this disinformation, misinformation. Initially, 6,000 people died. Well, then it was 5,500. Then it was 5,000. Then it was 4,500. But they got the full emotional impact by telling us over and over and over again it was 6,000 people. It was, you know, 2 weeks later before they finally got the figure down to somewhere where it should have been.
Absolutely right. Absolutely right. It is boggling that they have gotten away with it for so long, and the media, of course, has been the mainstream media, not talking about talk radio, of course, but mainstream broadcast media has played along with this and never asked the most obvious question. And we have the smoking gun, of course. We have the Pentagon's own news release saying, yeah, all our planes flew at a fraction of their top speeds on that tragic day. That is called treason. In my book, it's open and shut. We have their own document. I sent that to the New York Times and every major newspaper in the United States. I said, this is not Will Thomas. This is your Pentagon, your Defense Department's own statement. Not one of them chose to run this information.
Well, now, was this an AP release? What was it? Or was it something you got off the Internet? Where did you get the information?
It was an actual release by the Pentagon. It's headed North American Aerospace Defense Command, that's NORAD, news release, Directorate of Public Affairs. It came out of Suite 16, Peterson Boulevard, Peterson Air Force Base, Colorado, the home of NORAD, and it's dated September 18th, 2001, and it was released to the press as a paper document news release, and it's on the Internet at www.norad.mil, so it's an official government website that this particular copy came from.
Okay, NORAD, not .mil, M-I-L, okay?
That's right. If it, quote, if it's still there, and if it is not still posted, people can go to just search Stand Down, and you will find that release. But it gives all the flight times and distances for the aircraft they talk about. Now, they don't talk about the aircraft launched out of Ohio that shot down Flight 93 over Pennsylvania.
Well, I always
thought flight times are omitted from this news release.
I see. Well, I always thought that you know, it crashed because the hijackers were battling with the passengers. You're suggesting that this was actually a shoot down?
I'm stating definitively that it was a shoot down. In fact, we have a radar controller who has come forward in the American media and the newspapers and said, yes, I watched the F-16 pursue Flight 93 on my scope. We have a gentleman on board Flight 93, as you may recall, in the lavatory with a cell phone, saying there's been an explosion, white smoke, and then the plane is going down. And most telling of all, of course, Flight 93 came down in two parts. The main crash site, which we've all seen on the news, but the engine, one of the two engines of the plane, came down 8 miles away, and only half of it reached the ground, this one-ton engine, and that's exactly the signature of a heat-seeking air-to-air missile, would destroy part of the engine, rip it off the wing, deposit it 8 miles away. When the FBI was queried about why this debris ended up so far from the main crash site, they said, quote, the wind blew it there.
Maybe it bounced.
It must have bounced, but the flaming debris coming from the aircraft as it fell was not only seen by witnesses, but actually ended up in a small lake in the area. I go into this in quite some detail in my audio book called Stand Down, and the FBI came and indeed fetched several garbage bags full of debris from the aircraft as it fell. So it was ruptured in flight. And finally, although the parents and relatives of the victims were gagged and not allowed to reveal what they heard when the transcript, or actually when the Soviet voice recorder was played for them, Newsweek did come out and say that it looks like, I'm quoting now, the passengers got very close to the cockpit, but they did not actually gain entry before the aircraft went down. There's no question these people were heroes. There is no question that they attacked the hijackers, but it appears they did not breach the cockpit before the plane went down in two separate pieces. And the last sound on that cockpit tape is, quote, wind noise, which the experts tell us, again, means the fuselage was breached while the airplane was still in the air.
I see. And now, do you have any of the, you mentioned one of the flight controllers admitting that. How can people check that? Is that at that Stand Down website or whereabouts?
You could probably find that on the Stand Down website. I'm afraid I've got many different source material in front of me. However, with the CD Stand Down, I supply all references with all the information on that audio book. So I do actually give you the newspaper and date, and I could look it up, but it's not at my fingertips.
All right, fine. How can people get your audio book?
Okay, people can go to my website, Will Thomas, that's with two L's, willthomas.net, or they can call a toll-free number during business hours on the East Coast, please. This is 1-866-470-0740. Again, 1-866-470-0740 for the Stand Down audiobook or any of my other books and material.
And of course, Will has written a number of books, Bringing the War Home. And what was that other one that you wrote after that?
I've written a book called All Fall Down, The Politics of Terror and Mass Persuasion. I have a few copies left, and this, again, is fully documented, giving the agents and agendas behind 9/11, what really happened, and then how the media, took this story and censored it, twisted it, and got us into these remarkable horrors that we're still seeing on a daily basis.
Well, my fear, Will, is that we are headed towards World War III. I think that this recent debacle, as far as the embarrassment, the mistreatment of prisoners, this has to be staged. A CBS 2 never would have been allowed to put that out had the administration not wanted it. Do you know a better way to inflame the Islamic world against America than the current policies of the current administration? Why would anybody want a war? Well, I believe this is scripted. I believe we are entering into a major conflict that will last probably as long as the rest of us live. Certainly live through my life, maybe 50, maybe 75 years. What a terrible thing to contemplate, but well, it all started on the morning of September 11th. I wish we could get the truth about what really happened that day. But, of course, neither the first committee was censored by the government. The second one, well, was pretty well appointed by the administration and is not going to bring the truth out. We'll be right back here in a moment with Will Thomas.
another of our fascinating four tape sets is entitled Concentration Camps, and it's four interviews with people talking about the move to establish concentration camps in the United States. Now, most people say that's foolish talk. We couldn't have that. And yet, if you listen to these tapes, you'll find out that those camps are a reality. They are being set up in case of civil disturbance. And, of course, the authority for the establishment of the concentration camps comes from the executive orders, which were actually put through during the time of the Reagan administration. For documentation of the location and the background to the formation of these camps, their establishment, and what may very well happen or what they may be used for in the future, I suggest you call our 800 number, 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR for America, our values, our future are under attack today.
This is health journalist Bill Sardi. In November of 1991, the 60 Minutes television show first reported on the French paradox. The fact the French violate every dietary rule for good health, eat a diet rich in fats and calories, and yet exhibit far better cardiovascular health than North Americans. Over a decade later, we know that molecules called polyphenols are responsible for the health benefits in red wine. But those molecules only remain stable in a sealed bottle of red wine. Longevinix is the first dietary supplement to stabilize red wine molecules in a sealed capsule, just like a corked bottle of red wine, providing red wine polyphenols without the calories, alcohol, and sulfite preservatives. One Longevinix capsule is equivalent in polyphenols to drinking 5 glasses of red wine. Call 866-405-4000 today to order Longevinix. It's a revolutionary dietary supplement. 866-405-4000.
Leading edge dentists know the profound effect dental materials and procedures have on the health of the entire body. If you've been searching for a holistic trained dentist who can safely treat you, look no further. Dr. David Biles has been a leader in the Santa Cruz dental community for nearly 20 years. He built a solid reputation providing exceptionally high quality cosmetic and restorative dental care long before learning the very real hazards of common dental practices. Now, as a faculty member of the Institute of Natural Dentistry, Dr. Biles has begun lecturing nationally to other dentists on alternative and complementary dental care. On request, Dr. Biles will safely remove toxic dental materials from your mouth while substituting them with safe, non-allergenic restorations. Call Dr. Biles today and take the next step to improve your health. With sedation and nitrous oxide available, Dr. Biles can help even the most anxious patients. Call 423-0121 and schedule a visit now. That's 423-0121.
Hi, this is Dr. Tony.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and this is the time when I have to remind you that we sell the Miracle 2 soap products, and we think that they're really great. We use them ourselves. We've used them for a couple of years. We can't make any medical claims for them, but I will tell you that a lot of people use them. Tell us that it helps their rashes and itching skin and acne and all sorts of things. If you'd like to know more about them, why, you can go to our website at RadioLiberty.com. But I really hope, think that you'd be wise to at least consider ordering the introductory set. There's a soap, a moisturizing soap, a lotion, a gel, and a neutralizing solution. And I will tell you that the people who use these products order them over and over again. And unlike many of the things we carry, they use the Miracle soap products again and again. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty. Our guest this afternoon is Will Thomas, and of course he's an author, he's an investigative reporter, he's done a lot of work on a lot of different subjects. And Will, are you there?
I'm here. I must say, Dr. Stan, I'm getting tremendous interference, and it's very hard to hear.
I see. Well, would you like us just to call you back? Perhaps we might get a better line?
I would appreciate that.
All right, fine. I'm going to ask our producer then, I'll go ahead and disconnect you. We'll have them call you back and see if we get a better line. Sometimes that'll make all the difference in the world. But the important thing is that we need to know how we got into this war. Now, you have to understand that the war on terror was supposedly against Osama bin Laden and Al-Qaeda. But when we went into Afghanistan, we didn't try to get Osama bin Laden, and we didn't try to get Al-Qaeda, and we didn't try to get Sheikh Omar or Omar Mullah Omar or al-Zawahiri, we let them all escape. Why would you do something like that, dumb? And then we attacked Iraq. That had nothing to do with 9/11, because that's what it was all about originally. This was all planned out, at least back in 1998, and you need to get the documentation. It's in my video. It's entitled Iraq, the Untold Story. There's a syllabus that goes with it, and you'll actually get their material that they wrote asking back in 1998 for the removal of Saddam Hussein. And who were those people? Why, there was Donald Rumsfeld. There was Paul Wolfowitz signing the letter. Dick Cheney was part of the group. He didn't sign that letter, but he signed most of the other letters. This was all slam dunk. All we needed was an excuse. And so could there have been a better excuse than what happened on the morning of September 11th? The American people didn't want to go to war. Who wants to go to war and have people killed and have horrible atrocities carried out by both sides? Because war brings out the worst things in mankind. And yet, of course, by the 12th of September, the American people, like putty in the hands of the people who control the media, was ready to go to war. And by that Friday, we had this wonderful patriotic program. Do you remember that? On Friday, I think it was, or Saturday, and Willie Nelson singing all the verses of America the Beautiful over and over and over again, and all the Hollywood celebrities. It was almost like a Hollywood production, all to go along to rally the people behind the government for the coming war. And everybody had his flag, and well, anyway, let's get back to Will Thomas. Hi, Will, how are you doing?
This is much better, thank you. And of course, the document you're referring to, at least one of them, the Project for a New American Century, called for, quote, another Pearl Harbor to galvanize American public opinion for war, just as the original Pearl Harbor deception worked the same way.
Absolutely, and anybody can go to their website, newamericancentury.org, and check it out. Maybe Will is not telling you the truth. Maybe I'm not telling you the truth. Or maybe Rush Limbaugh and Bill O'Reilly and Dan Rather and Tom Brook aren't telling you the truth. Anyway, go to the website, check it out, and if you can't find it there, it's all in our syllabus. We just took it off of their website, and it's in our syllabus, Iraq, the Untold Story. Their plan. And of course, eventually, why, you know, they're going to draft your sons and daughters, they're going to have a police state here in America, and there may very well be a blowback from this, and you may see your cities in rubble, as I saw the cities of Germany in rubble back in 1953 when I was stationed there as a military officer. Well, as we look and see what's going on, what else will they get if they actually get your audio book? And you actually have some of the conversations there that were between the air traffic controllers. What do you have?
Yes, it's quite chilling, actually. I have brief audio excerpts from the air traffic controllers attempting to raise Flight 93 and talking to other aircraft in the area up until the time the plane actually impacted that field in Pennsylvania. I also have a clip of the hijackers, now we're back on the East Coast, overheard in the cockpit of Flight 11 when the pilot hit his push-to-talk switch on the control yoke, and that came out over the air traffic controller's speakers, and I have that clip as well as some clips from Ground Zero in Manhattan as the towers fell, some of the emergency services, some of the eyewitnesses on the scene. It's pretty strong stuff, but it does lend authenticity to many of the claims made on this CD.
All right, fine. We've got John calling. I don't know whether it'll be, maybe get his question in here before we go to the break. For John calling from Los Angeles. John, we're just about to go to a break, but do you have a question?
Well, yes. I'm looking at the press release that is posted from NORAD's release on September 18th, and the times shown for Flight 77, which hit the Pentagon, shows FAA notified needs at 9:24. Fighters were airborne at 9:30, and the impact was 9:37. So it does seem like they didn't have much time from the time they were notified by the FAA. And I wanted to get Will to try to clarify. I don't quite understand the real discrepancy.
All right, hold on. We'll have to hold on. We'll get to it right when we get there.
Well, if there's any one tape that you should hear, it's my talk on geopolitics. an untold story that is vitally important if America is to survive as a free nation. It goes into the background of the forces that have created the wars of the 20th century, the Boer War, the First World War, the Second World War, Korea, Vietnam. We go into the ideological and the spiritual battle behind the forces that have moved America from crisis to crisis and are currently undermining the very fabric of our society. That number again, 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, and the tape, Geopolitics. It is vitally important that you help us to get this message out across America, because without knowledge, my people perish. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR for copies of my talk on geopolitics.
Hi, this is Dr. Tony Thierry. Are you one of the many people who take vitamin supplements? Do you take handfuls of pills each day to increase energy, reduce your pain, or improve your overall health? Now there is a better way to get the vitamins and minerals your body needs, in a delicious-tasting whole food liquid supplement, Body Balance. Body Balance contains 121 essential vitamins and minerals and is made from only organic and natural sources. Developed by doctors, Body Balance was originally available only through healthcare professionals. Now this incredible whole food liquid supplement can be delivered directly to your home. Body Balance offers an extremely effective method to feed your body towards wellness, and we're confident you'll love the difference your body feels. To order your Body Balance, call me directly at 1-800-768-9763 and try it risk-free for 45 days. Again, that's 1-800-768-9763 or online at healthyfoundations.net.
Well, this is Dr. Stan here, and this is the time I just want to remind all of our listeners that there is going to be a conspiracy conference held over by Great America. It's going to be on the 29th and 30th. They have it there every year. And if you're interested in going to the conspiracy conference in Santa Clara on the 29th and 30th of this month, why, Joyce Riley will be speaking, and Len Horowitz, and Rodney Stitz, and Eric Hufschmidt, and a number of other people we've had as guests here on our program. You can call 209-832-0999. That's 209-832-0999. And ask about the Conspiracy Conference, or you can certainly go to their website, which is conspiracycon.com. That's conspiracycon.com. Now, I'm not speaking. I will have a booth there just because I enjoyed it last year. And my staff and myself will be coming. There will be one or two people I would disagree with, but then nobody disagrees with me completely. I disagree with other people, and they may disagree with me. But, well, I hope you'll be thinking about coming to the Conspiracy Conference on Memorial Day weekend. Well, Dr. Stan back here, and our guest this afternoon is Will Thomas. And John was calling from Los Angeles, and John, let's give the time sequence now. What time did the plane actually crash into the Pentagon? John, are you there?
Yes, it's John speaking.
All right, fine. The plane actually, according to the government, they keep changing the time, but according to according to the 9-9-1-1 commission, why the plane crashed at 9:43.
Okay.
In other words, originally they said 9:37, then they said 9:43. Uh-huh. So when did NORAD actually contact the planes?
Well, what this shows from the NORAD press release, American Flight 77, FAA notified NEADS, the Northeast Atlantic Defense System or something, at 9:24. There was a fighter scramble from Langley Air Force Base in Virginia at 9:24, and the fighters were airborne at 9:30. Then they show airline impact time at the Pentagon, 9:37 estimated. So they do have a little, fudge factor for themselves there, that they only estimated it. So
well, the official time, according to the 911 Commission, is 43. So they actually had, they were airborne. They had plenty of time to have gotten there had they been flying full speed, but they weren't allowed to fly full speed.
Yeah, it does show they flew at 500 miles an hour, I think. Mach 0.9, which is... little more than 500, but it's subsonic, and they do show that the fighter time distance from the airline impact location was approximately 12 minutes, 105 miles. So even if they were airborne at 9:30, then they should They should have got there a minute before 9:43. Although then it's right at the line. But the main thing is that I tend to believe that there is some very serious problem in our leadership, and that there's some intentionality in the base, some people in our command structure that allowed this to happen. And I've tried to convince a cousin who's a pilot and been in the military about this possibility. He says he can't find any evidence of it. And I'm still trying to find the
smoking gun is Norman Mineta's testimony,
yeah,
on the 23rd. Have you looked that up yet?
I haven't looked it up. I've heard you report it, but
right.
I think the key thing there is any other corroborating evidence as to the probable nature of those orders, or, you know, just the fact that he reports that, those people could discount it in various ways.
Well, of course, the thing is that what's so interesting about the testimony is nobody ever wanted to find out what the orders were. Somebody said, what were the orders? He said, I don't know. And nobody ever again tried to find out what the orders were.
That's telling.
It sure is. And Will, how would you like to comment to John?
Yes, I do appreciate that question, John. Very good question. Even if we go with their time of 09:37, and that's been corrected by the commission, as Dr. Stan noted, to a later time. My math, looking at 105 miles out, 12 minutes out, comes to somewhere around under 500 miles per hour. But the main point I want to make here on the Langley Pentagon scramble is that it took them 19 minutes to cover the 130 miles from Virginia, and it should have taken seven minutes at full speed, and that would have put them over the Pentagon at the Pentagon's timeline for the impact, and they would have had a brief moment to intercede, but they would have arrived before the airliner if they'd flown at top speed.
I can see
seven
that.
7 minutes instead of 19 minutes.
Right. You know, actually, they report the actual time was 12 minutes from Langley to the Pentagon.
But, oh, okay, 12 minutes.
But anyway, in other words, it's actually their data is even more condemning in a way, or more suspicious. The main thing I have not been able to find is any investigation of why the two fighter jets ready at Andrews and had been routinely used for intercepts in the past, almost on a weekly basis, ever received orders. There must be some accountability for that command decision.
Well,
That's very big. 10 miles away from the Pentagon and the White House, you would think that they would be launched instantly, at least to protect the Capitol and fly a combat air patrol over the city.
You know, one of the most interesting things, John, are all the questions that one might ask. For instance, we know that the president knew they were planning on hijacking planes after the 6th of August, that they were planning on an attack on the United States. Now, if you were the president of the United States, and you knew they were planning to hijack our planes, wouldn't you think that the most important thing to do would be to order that? Well, you get the people from the FAA and then say, what can we do to prevent a hijacking? They'd say, well, keep the doors locked to the cockpit so nobody can get in. Wouldn't that be a logical thing to do?
Certainly.
Or maybe arm the pilots, or maybe get marshals on all the planes. So why was it we know that actually six of those hijackers, actually nine of them, because three were, but six of them were on a terrorist watch list. Now, we're told we had no idea who they were. But we know that six of them were on a terrorist watch list. If we didn't have any idea who they were, why were they on a terrorist watch list? And if you'd like that article, I'll leave you with my producer. We'll get you your name, your address. We'll be glad to send you that article. And actually, there were three other terrorists with them, with the six that were stopped that morning. And then they, knowing full well, there was supposed to be an alert out that there was, you know, the suspected hijacking. But the trouble, it didn't get out to the airlines. How could that possibly be? There was a major alert sent to every FBI office in the country the danger of these terrorist attacks, and it never got to any of the FBI offices. How could that have happened unintentionally?
Well, I don't think it could have, but I was just wondering if Will knows what process by which there could be some investigation of the orders that were not given to the Andrews Air Force Base planes. I mean, would that be part of this commission or some other congressional investigative authority? How could that be uncovered?
Well, of course, it's the jurisdiction, if you like, of the 9/11 Commission to cover this. As Dr. Stan noted, they've had their day with Mr. Mineta and General Myers and other people involved with air defense and flight safety in the U.S., and they ducked the questions. I've gone through the transcripts, and I haven't seen that question and others that we've raised on this show today asked, and I have personally emailed commission members, lawyers in running lawsuits back on the East Coast, all of the major newspapers in the United States, with a NORAD statement pointing out these discrepancies, and not one of those publications has raised the point. So if the media refuses to deal with it, if the commission won't go there because this is an unspinnable story pointing directly to treason, then I really don't know how to answer your question, how to get this out in front of the public, with the additional fact that I've uncovered more than a dozen Air Force bases within flying range of Washington, D.C. and New York City. None of them were contacted. We have a report from a military person at McGuire Air Force Base who has said on the record that after the first tower was hit in Manhattan, their air base received orders that no airplane was to lift off from McGuire Air Force Base.
And where is McGuire?
I'm not certain, but it's an East Coast base.
Uh-huh.
And I think the point is that, having served in the military, if the region is under attack, you launch everything you've got to get them off the ground in case there's something incoming. But they were told to stand down that base. So, you know, we have all kinds of stories, radar reports, and NORAD's own statement, and none of this is even being questioned. The Atlantic City fighters that were airborne, other planes were on patrol, routine patrol, up and down the seaboard for the North American Air Defense Zone that extends off the East Coast. They were not vectored to intercept. The Otis airplanes, you'll recall, ambled down to New York at about 500 miles per hour, 510 actually, instead of 1,875. When they got there, it was too late, and they were ordered to fly circles over the Atlantic Ocean. They could have been vectored to intercept Flight 77 or Flight 93 if it came closer, but they were directed to fly circles over the ocean and then to return to New York City.
John, I think we have a real problem. The thing is that the 9/11 Commission is not there to reveal the truth, but to conceal the truth. And, of course, if there was nothing to hide, why did the Bush administration insist on censoring the initial report that was put out by the Joint Select Committee on Intelligence?
Right.
Obviously, they're hiding something. So what are they hiding? And why don't they want to be forthcoming with the American people?
I tend to think that we've lost our country, and we're going to have to really fight to get it back.
Well, you've got to help us, but the fight has got to be an ideological fight. You've just got to get people listening to our program, getting our documentation, get Will's excellent material. I know Will, and he's a reliable individual. We try to put people on our program that will give you the truth that you're not going to get through the regular channels. We just need enough people listening and questioning and asking those hard questions like you do. And the other thing is, we've got to have the documentation, and if I ever say anything that isn't right, you let me know, because I'll correct it. But, you know, we've done a pretty good investigation as far as that Norman Mineta testimony is concerned, and you can actually find that on the 911 Commission website for May 23rd. But you have to look under the archives, and that's the only way you're going to get it.
Okay, May 23rd archives.
May 23rd archives for the testimony of Norman Mineta, right?
All right.
God bless. Thanks so much, John. And, of course, our telephone number, if you're out there you'd like to talk to Will, is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And Will has put together an audio book covering a lot of the things that he's been able to compile about what happened that day. Go ahead, Will.
I'm thinking further on John's question. It really stays in my mind. And I think you just put your finger on it. What if your listeners and the people they could reach, so maybe we crank that up by a factor of 10, all bombarded their congressional representatives the major news agencies with a simple question, what about the Andrews jets? I mean, just start there and say, you know, we need this, listen to. They bombard the commission, anyone they can think of in the media, their representatives in government, and say, you know, we need this to come out. And perhaps, just perhaps, public pressure would force them to address the Andrews issue, and from there we can talk about the actual flight times as revealed by the Pentagon.
And John, I cut you off. If you do want to get that article about the fact that there were six of these people that we had no idea who they were, that were on a terrorist list and were stopped that morning, call back and we'll go ahead and send that to you free of charge. Fascinating little bits of information here, there, and elsewhere. But, gee, if we had no idea who they were, why were they on a terrorist watch list that morning? Let's talk with Dave from Illinois. Hi, Dave. How you doing?
Good afternoon, gentlemen. A quick statement to make, Dr. Stan. You know, those who can't believe that the government could be responsible need to be reminded of Waco, Ruby Ridge, and in my personal opinion, if a government could allow that or could be behind atrocities like that, to me it's not a stretch at all that there could be people, individuals in high power who are treasonous criminals and who would let this stuff happen. I think it's possible that there are people in our government who are actually treasonous. And I'm not blaming everybody in government. It's not a government-wide thing, I don't think. But I think there may be individuals in government who are treasonous criminals who let this happen.
Well, I would suggest anybody who wonders about Waco, we have a wonderful video. It's called Waco, A New Revelation. And there are two interviews there with the people who had talked to the Special Forces killers who were brought in, people from Special Forces. Their job was to kill the Davidians, and of course they blew up the children, dropped bombs in into the area where they were, and they shot the rest of the people in the back of the head. Now, and they bragged about it, and you'll actually hear two people there who had talked to the Special Forces people. You have to understand that we really train these men to kill, to lose their conscience, and I'm sure they start out as patriots, individuals loving the country. But once you are willing to go along with something that's wrong, it sears your very conscience. The video is Waco, A New Revelation, and if you haven't seen it, you need to get it. It's one of the most powerful videos I've ever seen. An interview with the FBI agent who was in charge of the scene there, and he said this is still an open murder investigation because they felt that the Davidians had been murdered, and the fact you've never heard that reflects the degree of control that exists today over what the American people think. Dave, I agree with you. Thank you. Is there anything you'd like to say to Dave, Bill?
Well, final comment. Those who refuse to take their heads out of the sand and be aware of the possibility of that much evil in high places, those people are going to let this country go down.
Well, God bless. Thanks so much.
Yep.
Okay, fine. And of course, there are an awful lot of people who keep their head buried in the sand like an ostrich, but you know what happens to the ostrich? Somebody comes along with a machete and just chops off their head. Well, how would you respond to Dave?
I think he's absolutely correct. The country was hijacked in 2000 with an election, a selection, I should amend, that the Supreme Court of Florida later ruled, and the AP carried this story on the wire, they ruled it a fraudulent election. We've seen the government hijacked by the neocons. You've mentioned the stratagem that they prepared over a 10-year period. The same people who brought us Vietnam and 3 million people dead, mostly children and family members, have brought us this fiasco in Iraq. I do pray that as the wheels continue to come off this catastrophe, as Rumsfeld has called it, these people will be brought to account and American can placed back in the hands of its people.
You know, Will, that's such an important point. You know, we always talk about the 58,000 American boys who died in Vietnam, but we never talk about the 1 million South Vietnamese and the 2 million North Vietnamese that were slaughtered in that stupid war where we financed the North Vietnamese all during the war. Why? People don't understand. We could have won the war at any time. We were not allowed to win the war. The war was not fought to defeat communism because we were giving money to Russia, lending money to Russia, most of it written off subsequently, so they could continue supplying the weapons to the North Vietnamese to continue the war going as we introduced socialism into America, as we centralized power in government, as we changed our immigration laws to create a multicultural society, as the Supreme Court found that the woman had a right to abort her child, and then we begin to centralize all power with Washington, D.C., and take away the ability to control pornography from the local community. The First Amendment doesn't have a wall of separation. It says Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion. And the average American doesn't understand these matters dealing with homosexuality and morality and pornography and everything else were to be handled at the state and the local level. And they've dumbed down our people so much they don't even understand our Constitution. Well, we're out of time. We could have gone on for another hour. But we're going to have you back here real soon.
Thank you. We did get the high points across. And
let's get that telephone number out one more time here.
Okay. The phone number is 1-866-470-0740.
And the website?
WillThomas.net.
God bless you. Bye-bye, Will.
God bless.
Now, most people would laugh at the idea that there is or has been a secret society. I wanted to tell you about a tape we have. It's a talk I gave before the Concerned Women of America some years ago, and it basically goes back into the background behind the secret society, which was formed in England and eventually
came to America
and came to be known as the Council on Foreign Relations. It goes into the background of Cecil Rhodes. And how does that secret society that he created impact on you today? If you read the works of Professor Carol Quigley, who was Bill Clinton's mentor, you'll understand that Professor Quigley is probably one of the leading experts today on history, but also a man who had the courage to speak out. You need to get the four-tape set, The Secret Government, to understand what Professor Quigley taught Bill Clinton. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, because America is under attack today.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and this is the time when we want to mention that we carry the Big Berkey and the Berkey Light, and if you don't have a Big Berkey or a Berkey Light, you really ought to get one. We're moving into terribly uncertain times. We're moving into World War III. Of course, they haven't told you that yet, but it really started on September 11th. We're doing everything we can to inflame the Muslims against the United States and the American people against the Muslims, and that's how you get a war going, because most Muslims don't want to fight us, and most Americans don't want to fight the Muslims. We don't want the draft. We don't want boys going overseas. We don't want a war brought to our own streets here, but there are people who would have that because they have a different worldview. And so you need to get yourself protected, and one of the things you need is some means of having ready access to water. The Big Berkey is made out of stainless steel. It'll filter about 25 gallons a day. It has ceramic filters packed with activated carbon or with carbon, and you can get those for $279, and if you buy them from us, why, you get a free four-tape set or a free video we produce. But the Big Berkey is not available in either California or Iowa. However, the Berkey Light is even more efficient. It costs $179. It's made out of Lexan, a clear substance that they make bulletproof glass out of, so you can see the water levels. The filters are what we call black Berkey filters. They're very efficient, but they have to be replaced every 2 to 3 years. And, of course, if you want to get your fluoride out of your water, which you should, fluoride, lead, and arsenic, you have to get special post filters, and you can get them from both the Big Berkey or the Berkey Light. If you want to find out more, go to our website at radioliberty.com or give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927 and order a Big Berkey or a Berkey Light. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and this is the time when we have to remind our listening audience that Radio Liberty is primarily listener-supported, and as you know, we're heard on stations all across America, over 60 of them every week, but quite frankly, we're dependent upon you to help us as finance this program. Buying radio time, I will tell you, is a very expensive proposition, and we keep expanding our listening audience as the funds become available. And we have a number of very loyal people who month in and month out help us, and we hope that you'll want to join the Radio Liberty family of supporters. So give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. You'll get the four best tapes of the month. You'll get our monthly newsletter, but more than that, you'll be helping. Because we're one of the few ministries that begins to take the geopolitical events and combine them with the spiritual, so you can understand the real battle is a spiritual battle being fought on a political and ideological and cultural and financial and educational battlefield. And we're losing that battle because most people don't even know there's a war going on for the hearts and souls of mankind. So if you'd like to get a free copy of our latest newsletter, it's just actually going out today, why it goes into the book written by Richard Clark, Against All Enemies, and the background of his charges against the Bush administration, that they just weren't interested in trying to stop a terrorist attack on the United States, and his charges that he kept telling him that there was going to be an attack, and they refused to do anything. Well, you'll find what really happened and how they really just tried to confuse the whole issue, and everybody's contradicting everybody else, and these people are swearing under testimony. How could two people like the Attorney General and the head of the FBI, acting head of the FBI, give diametrically opposed testimony, lying under oath, perjury, somebody's perjuring? It's all to confuse you in the audience. That's what it's all about. Keep the people confused. They can't see what's going on. And then, of course, you can control them. Well, that's exactly what's happening. You want to get our latest newsletter. I think it's rather good that I agonize over every newsletter. If you'd like a free copy of our latest newsletter, give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. Of course, we do hope you'll want to subscribe, but we'll be glad to send you a free copy of the newsletter. Then, of course, we hope that if you would like to get my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, which really explains what's going on. It's available by itself for $12.95 plus shipping, or you can get the Brotherhood of Darkness special with a book, the video, and the audio tape. And we want you to copy the video and the audio tape and get people listening to them. Just lend them the video, lend them the audio tape, try to get them to listen and to understand the true enemy. The true enemy is Satan himself, and he is using people in secret societies all across America. He has been since the beginning of time. And, of course, there are people who worship Lucifer today. There are people who worship Satan. And some of those are in very, very key positions of authority. And so, if by book Brotherhood of Darkness, our video of Iraq, the Untold Story, and you'll want to get the syllabus with that, we have a great new talk I've given. We don't have the video, won't be available, but we do have an audio tape. And you can get the syllabus that we put together. Sustainable Development's got a lot of great new material in it, going into how this whole environmental movement is being used to take away our freedom. Sustainable Development means basically that they are going to use the environment to change our life, to kill off large segments of the population. We simply quote Barbara Marx Hubbard, one of the wealthiest women in the world, as she talks about how a quarter of the world's population will have to be exterminated. And but that's not your job, my dear, she says. That is ours for the writers of The Pale Horse Death. And you'll get the exact writings from her publications. Incidentally, when it came out in book form, it was funded by the Lawrence Rockefeller Fund for the Advancement or Enhancement of Humanity. Doesn't that make you feel good? The Lawrence Rockefeller Endowment for the Advancement of Humanity. Well, you have to get the Sustainable Development syllabus. Lots of great information there. And we'll have the video available, but right now you can get the audio tape that goes with it. Give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. And then pray for America. Pray for revival. Pray for our leaders and ministers. But please pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and protection. And so until tomorrow at the same time, may the Lord be with you.